It's Friday, March 14th, 2008. You're listening to Bedtime with Rob and Alex.
I'm Rob.
I'm Alex.
And it is bedtime.
It's bedtime. It's going to be one of those tough bedtimes because I just came home totally pumped from hearing Muhammad Yunus talk. He's one of the elders. I went to see him with Jason Mokas, who we've been working with on some work for the elders, which is an amazing project, and we'll put the URL in the show notes.
Yeah, just quickly, who are the elders?
The elders are, they are the elders. The elders is a new NGO that was started last year by Nelson Mandela, it was started by Richard Branson and Peter Gabriel on Nelson Mandela's, was launched on Nelson Mandela's birthday, and it's really a council of elders for the global village, and it includes people like Muhammad Yunus, who started Grameen Bank, who spoke tonight here, and Jimmy Carter, and Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese leader, Graca Machel from South Africa, Desmond Tutu. We're trying to support what they're doing on the web, and so it was really wonderful to be able to hear Yunus talk in person, and he's just got such an energy. And you know, it's funny, it's actually ironic, right, when you think about doing stuff on the web, because what the energy these folks have is so incredible. It's just special. Like, it's truly, it reminded me of when we went to hear the Dalai Lama talk, right? Like, when you're in the presence of somebody who has that kind of, like, it's just a different experience. And and of course the challenge is, how do you provide some element of that online? Because, you know, the power of listening to him speak was just like his story. He just stood up there and he just told the story of Grameen Bank and his work. And I suspect he led everybody in the room with a sense that actually, you know, just one person can truly have an extraordinary impact and really tackle a problem as enormous and sometimes as daunting as poverty, and really have a meaningful impact. It was really an extraordinary talk. And, you know, one of the things that I find really hard in those contexts is that there are people who serve issues. You know, for him, his calling has been to really tackle poverty and to be a champion in many ways for the humanity of poor people. I mean, that was really what struck me. And our thing isn't a thing. Our thing is the web, which is a medium, not an end. And when he talked about the different kinds of ways that a social business like Grameen could help the world, you know, it's these really tangible things, right? It's like vaccines, it's healthcare, it's poverty action. And what we do on the web can support people in those spaces, but it isn't really an end in itself. Or is it? This is the question we've been struggling with a lot. So I thought maybe it's time to take it to bed. And just to raise that question of, if you're really, really putting the web in service to the world's problems, that's a horrible way of putting it, to people, if you're really putting the web in service of people, what kinds of problems can the web itself solve? So take away the question of how the web can mediate or support problem solving, which is probably most of what it can do. But can the web itself solve any problems? And I mean, that was why I found myself thinking about TIES, which is another project we're working on for an extraordinary organization, the Plan Institute. And TIES is basically a way of supporting people on the web. And in some ways, it is kind of closer to solving a problem in and of itself, which is the problem of isolation. Because one thing the internet does do is connect people to one another.
I think that's actually been huge for a lot of people. Not necessarily in the context of any organization or programmatic effort, just for a lot of people who either lack social graces or
physical barriers,
emotional barriers, social barriers, class barriers, gender barriers, racial barriers, they're able to break through those and find either like-minded people or at the very least people to talk with and share ideas and make their voices heard for the first time.
I mean, it can actually solve some specific problems. So one kind of problem it can solve is isolation. Are there other kinds of problems that the web itself can solve? And the thing that jumps out at me is information problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a real issue around freedom of information, access to information in authoritarian countries. And China and Saudi Arabia and more impressively slash effectively North Korea do half decent job of suppressing information on the internet, but it's pretty hard to do. And people roll cables in across borders so that there's free access to internet services.
And you don't have to draw too sharp a line between authoritarian and non-authoritarian countries. There have been efforts in the U.S. to use the net to shine light in places where fairly powerful interests don't necessarily want it shone. Everything from examining documents from the tobacco industry or from the Attorney General's office to tracking campaign donations and linking it to voting records. So there's that side of it as well.
It is good.
So I was going to say that there's an expressive element that it gives people access to a much flatter hierarchy of storytelling.
Gives people a voice.
Yeah, it gives people a voice. And you don't have to convince the editor of a newspaper that publishing this is going to, you know, yield advertising revenues. Instead, you throw it up there for better or for worse. And for some people, it's cat blogging, but for some people, it's riveting accounts of daily life in Baghdad.
And if you think about, I was just thinking that another thing it does is it does provide different kinds of resource allocation possibilities. Whether you're thinking about Kiva, which is very much, you know, a microfinance thing on the Grameen model, or you're thinking about people being able to volunteer and target their expertise, or you're thinking about people being able to find gigs, you know, remotely, or people being able to create online businesses around their passions that, you know, would never have had a centralized enough market before. But I mean, it's funny. It just doesn't feel like it's on the order of magnitude of possibility of what you see with a Grameen. But then again, it's way new.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I think it's just a question of really identifying that, you know, the thing that's happened, I guess, with the web, right? I mean, here we are. We're having that exact conversation. Is we start with the medium and then we say, what can it do? Like, oh, here's this great tool. What can it do? What can it do? We know it can do stuff. But when you think about how innovation happens, it's not, I have a hammer, where's a nail? It was very moving listening to Yunus today talk about how, you know, he came to the bank idea because he saw a real problem in front of him and this was the solution. It wasn't like he was a banker and he thought, went out to say, how can I make banking do good? And that is the challenge. I mean, frankly, we love the technology, right? We really
enjoy it.
What we're trying to do is put that passion in service to values and issues and people we care about. But it's not the same as seeing a problem and offering a solution.
No, it isn't. But at the same time, I don't think that we necessarily go to every problem and say, okay, well, how can we apply Drupal to this, to the problem of drug addiction in the downtown East Side? Or
no, it's true. Now we say Facebook. Facebook can solve that bleeding wound?
At least this iteration of the API. Next week, nah. What strikes me, though, is that there are going to be certain characteristics of problems where you're able to say, okay, well, this is somewhere where perhaps the web might have something of value to offer. For instance, where people are geographically dispersed, where you need to overcome issues of asynchronicity, where you need to have repositories of information that can be quickly and easily accessed from a number of different locations.
I don't know. I think you're right. Like, I think that is one way of looking at it. But I like the ties model better, which is, you know, let's not try and find solutions. Let's not try and make solutions ourselves. Let's just say what we know how to do is translate other people's solutions. And we were fortunate to be inspired with what Plan did and to see the potential for doing that work on the web and for supporting that work with the web and making it available to more people. Kiva has done the same thing with a microcredit model. There are lots of great solutions out there. And maybe, you know, what the web needs to be doing is translating those solutions and then amplifying them and scaling them up. I guess the anxiety I have about that is that I find the whole, like, micro solutions phenomenon a bit troubling. That when you look around, we've been doing this thing recently where we've been kind of I would love to say we've been doing it all on Kindle so that there was no paper footprint, but we've been stocking up on books about, you know, the big things about social change and what comes next and how is the world going to get itself out of the mess it's in. And a disturbing percentage of those books are like 50 things you can do to save the planet, or, you know, the 20 greatest social innovations of the past decade. there's very little in the way of grand theory. And in a way, I think that's good, because I know that I've been really susceptible to grand theories, and I think it's like a plague on the left generally, is, where is Karl Marx 2.0? And,
and also the dismissal out of hand of smaller scale solutions.
That's true. That's true. Right. Right. Which is like the classic problem of the left, right? No, your successful small business can't continue creating jobs in the community. It must be turned into a government enterprise, because that's what it's going to, you're extracting surplus value, damn you.
But there is a value to a more overarching theory of change.
Yeah.
The thing that this speaks to for me is that there is an assumption, I think, made by technologists, among others, but that success in technological innovation means that you're going to be a successful social innovator as well. And that isn't the case. These are very different fields. It's for the same reason that technological innovators often turn out to be really not very good business innovators.
Right.
And different skill sets, different... You do, from time to time, find people who have the same, who are in that little intersection bit of the Venn diagram between the two. But we do make the assumption that, I've built this amazing module. Of course, I can then go use it to solve poverty or whatever. And what strikes me about the Grameen Bank story and a lot of other stories about social innovation is how place-based they are and how much they rely on actually being there and listening and hearing what people are telling you and asking what kind of solutions are needed, as opposed to deciding to come in from above, swoop down, and shower resources on something in a very structured way out of some disconnected theory of how it's going to change things.
I think that's particularly true on the web, where the global reach makes it really tempting to go for the big theory of everything instead of to focus on what we actually know works. Because at the end of the day, the web is just made up of people, right? There is no there. I mean, this is one of the things we've been talking about a lot recently, right? There's no such thing as online community. Online community is just a group of people who are talking on a discussion forum, blogging, sharing videos. Like, there is no there. Community isn't like a thing, a switch you flip. But we tend to think in those terms when we get online, and instead of just focusing on the pieces that we know how to do. And at the end of the day, a web space is just a community of people doing something. And if you can get them doing something that you know has socially constructive ends in the real world, then you've got a better shot at it being socially constructive on the web. It's so nice to have a light bedtime chat. Just because I love Mohammed Yunus doesn't mean I can't love you too. What did you do today that I really loved?
Well, the thing that happened today was actually not much of a thing at all. It was sitting across from you. Our desks face each other at work. And I had just written a piece of copy and shot it over to you to have a look at. And you were doing that, and you were thinking about it and making a few small changes. And it was just this wonderful cycle of collaboration and the fact that I get to be with you every day doing work that feels very much like it matters. And it's just this wonderful partnership.
I actually had a similar moment today, which was we wrote something for a client last night and sent it off and got some comments back. And our client was asking us to go in a pretty different direction with this piece. And I could totally see why, but I really wasn't sure. Like, I just really didn't know whether I felt like that was the right direction or whether we needed to stay the course and encourage parallel approaches. And it was just really clear to me that I totally trusted your judgment more than mine. And I just felt like so good not to have to try and decide. Like, I just had way more faith in your judgment. You have such a good feel for audience and message. And it was just really... I know some girls like a bouquet of flowers, but I really like a coherent message. Thank you for your coherent message and your excellent judgment.
Some people like a box of chocolate. Some people like a message box.
That's right. There you go. See? This is what I'm talking about. Who wouldn't want that instead? I do love you a lot.
I love you too.
Good night, Internet.
Good night, Internet. You've been listening to Bedtime with Rob and Alex. You can find show notes and past episodes at socialsignal.com/bedtime. And if you'd like to send us your comments, your thoughts, your questions, your feedback of any kind whatsoever, just shoot it off to bedtime@socialsignal.com. And we take text comments, we take audio comments as well. Thanks for listening.